Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We are to gain truth. And when God gives you truth, there's a cost to that. There's a price for that. There's a seeking, a lifting up, a crying out to God. And God gives you truth. This past weekend, God has shown many of you truth. And when God gives you truth, you must keep it by faith. In the power of the Holy Spirit, guard that trust that God has given to you. This morning I want to talk about gaining wisdom and keeping wisdom. Get and keep wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 4, we're just going to camp out on Proverbs chapter 4. And after prayer advance week, when we're out there seeking the Lord and just the multiple facets of truth and application that God shows us, I just wanted to come and cover this because I think it is so essential that we get wisdom and that we keep wisdom. That we get it and that we keep it. Here's our responsibility. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father and give attention to no understanding. So we're going to talk about the first part, verses 1, chapter 4, 1 to 13, to get wisdom, and then right at 13 to the end, keep wisdom. To get wisdom, you have to hear. You have to give attention to no understanding. Children, in order to get wisdom, what do you have to do? Hear the instruction of a father. Let me see your ears. Pull your ears out, children. Pull them out. Hear. Stretch out your ears to listen. Get wisdom. Get it. Listen. Tune your ears to hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding. Why? Verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. We are to listen to wise fathers who instruct us from the word. Children, you're to listen to your fathers. And we who have fathers, spiritual fathers who guide and direct us, we are to listen to the instruction that they give us from the scriptures. So children, listen to the instruction of your fathers. Stretch out your ear. Ask them questions. Instruct me. All of us are to be giving our ears to God our Father, to listen to His Word, to hear Him, to gain attention. Give Him attention. And the best time to do this is when we are young. And you're not going to ever get any younger than you are right now. So now's the time to start, no matter how old you are. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart keep my words. Retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. So we're talking about the word of wisdom, God's word in your heart. Let your heart keep or retain my words. So our heart is made to live on words. Right? Thoughts. What are thoughts? A combination of words that carry meaning into all of your life. Words are powerful. And I would say it's the railway of your heart. The train gets on that rail and goes. Our hearts are, and all of our hearts live that way. They are driven by words or images and thoughts. Okay? That's why what goes in your heart is so important. That's what will drive your life. What you put in your heart. And there's a problem there we immediately find, isn't there? Is that we all have this rebellion in our hearts. Selfish self-will. And so that rebellion derails us from wisdom into folly. There's two paths, wisdom and folly, Proverbs chapter 9. The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, which is teaches us to choose wisdom, not folly. The fear of the Lord. Fools despise wisdom and instruction and are punished. But those who are wise, how do they get wisdom? They fear God. They acknowledge God. They weigh into what God, who God is and what God says. So to be wise is to hear from God and to keep that wisdom. Keep those words in your heart. Anything that takes that word, those thoughts, out of your heart is the enemy of your soul. I don't care if it's, it could be media, it could be music, it could be friends, it could be your own vain thoughts. Pick one and deal with it. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Keep, let your heart, the core of who you are, retain my words. Keep my commands and live. There is no better place for this kind of instruction to take place than between a father and a son, parents and children. So this is a perfect paradigm in how we're to be, the tone, the mannerism, and how we're to be instructing our children. Here, this is what the scriptures say. Walk in this. This is what it looks like. Walk in this. This is why. Fathers must be continually explaining the why to your children. Right? The what? Obey God. The why? Because God said, and here's what He says, especially as your children grow. They need to be trained in doctrine, in wisdom, and understanding. And you know what? We all need that. What children need most, adults need most. It's all the same. Children are just a little more obvious in it. What do children need? Love, security, wisdom, training. And if you didn't get it when you're young, you need it double now. Wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Verse 5. It is the priority of life. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. The danger is to turn away from wisdom, to walk in the paths of folly. We talked a lot about the distractions of life and what keeps us from praying, what keeps us from seeking God. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. It's the main thing. What are you seeking in your life? What is the main, what drives you? Are you seeking wisdom? Well, why should I seek wisdom? Because wisdom will preserve you. Wisdom will keep you. Let wisdom be your guide. Discretion shall guide you. That's what you need. The most important thing that you need in your life is the wisdom that comes from God. It's the priority. It's, if you will, it flows out of the first commandment. Have no other gods before you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The acknowledgement of who God is and what He says. That's wisdom. That's the acknowledgement of wisdom. Now, walking in that wisdom is how you retain wisdom. And there's always two paths. There's always the path of wisdom and the path of folly. And every opportunity to choose wisdom, there's a myriad opportunities to choose folly. Some are clearly sin. You know, I mean, if wisdom or righteousness is 90 degrees straight up, right? There's all the degrees around that you can fall into. Some are 91 degrees and 92 degrees. They don't look that bad. Some are 180. Some are diametrically opposed. Right? It's all the wrong paths. There's one way, and that's let your heart retain my words. Keep the word of God in the center of your heart. Keep wisdom. Get wisdom. Keep wisdom. Get wisdom. Keep wisdom. Why? She will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. It's the priority of wisdom. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. It is the principal thing. So why do we camp out for a couple days and to get wisdom? That's why. Because it's the principal thing. There's nothing more important than getting wisdom. Nothing. Why do we want to have family worship every day with our families? Because it's the principal thing, and we want to acknowledge that it is the main thing. It's primary. Why do we want to gather together? We want to express the wisdom that God has shown us, and we want to get wisdom. Why do we want to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? Because wisdom is the principal thing. And the more we have wisdom, the more wisdom will have us. And we need wisdom. The paths of folly are grim and dark. There's folly all around us. And it's dark. It's evil. Therefore, get wisdom. It's the main thing. When you could go to Colossians 1:18, then in all things Jesus Christ may have the preeminence. It's the same thing. To put Christ first is to seek His wisdom. The wisdom that comes from Him. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Then in all things He may have the preeminence. Colossians 1:18. Christ's firstness, His greatness, His Word is the principal thing. What He says, who He, which flows out of what He does, that's the main thing. So whatever you're doing in life, it better be because of God is and God spoke. If it's not based on who God is and what God says to you, it is sin. It needs to be removed. That's folly. Get wisdom. Who God is and what God says. That means in the beginning there is God and there is no other. So that everything I do, every step I take on this path is based on who God is and what God has said. That means we don't open a book without thinking who God is and what God has said. Everything is religious. Everything finds its origin in who God is. Except for one thing, and that is sin, and that needs to be removed. This is the key to education, understanding home education. It's who God is and what God said. One of the worst things that in our public education system that many of us were raised in is they would open a subject and not even refer to God. Then they'd open the next, they'd do social studies, and they would do science, and then they would do math, and they would do English. All those subjects cry out and are there because of God and His wisdom. God created people. He makes social structures. He is His consistency and His faithfulness is what creates math to test and to measure the universe to take dominion. They're all implicitly or inherently religious. But to open a book and say, oh, you know, this, you know, education is over here and religion is over there and they don't touch. That's just to say there is no God. That's atheism. There's nothing that the wisdom of God doesn't touch. Nothing. Except for sin. And that's folly. That needs to be removed. So in all of our getting, get wisdom. And you have a lot of things you'd like to get, isn't there? And that's what we really tried to weigh in at this prayer advance, is what is the weighty thing, men? And the Lord has showed you these things. So now we need to encourage one another. Now's the time to work it out. What is the weightiest thing? To know God and make Him known. To know His wisdom. There's a lot of things we think we need to get. Most of them are distractions. They just need to be removed. They just need to be off the plate, off the table. Because they're just distractions. And we talked about fearing things. You know, the paper tigers in life. So a lot of things we get afraid of. And they just need to be, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, the Scripture says. Okay? That's not from God. Remove it. It's not the path of wisdom. There's a lot of things we want. Okay? Food and clothing, let's be content. Okay? We have food. God knows you have need of all these things. What do? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. That's wisdom. Matthew 6:33, that's wisdom. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What His Word says, that's what we do. He knows you need all these things. And He'll bring them to you in His way. Remove the distractions so that you can have a heart, a single heart to focus on wisdom. Amen? That's getting wisdom. That's what is required to get wisdom. It's that one angle that we live on, that we abide in Christ. Matthew, John 15. That's wisdom. All those passages in the New Testament that speak of Christ and His glory. To understand Jesus, that's wisdom. That's the pursuit of wisdom. If you've missed Christ, you've missed wisdom. He is the sent one to communicate the ways of God, the Messiah. Understand Him is to understand wisdom. It's the principal thing. There's nothing deeper or higher than this principle. Get wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's nothing greater. There's nothing deeper. There's nothing more solid in this world. But the world, the devil knows that. And so the devil says, there is a lot of things that are actually more important than that. That's what the devil lies to you. And he says, there is something, you're missing something. When we talked about the prayer, do you ever feel like you're missing something? Right? You know what you're missing? You're missing knowing God. That's what God says. You're missing the times of prayer and refreshment that God has designed you to seek Him on. That's what you're missing. But the devil says, no, you're missing this, you're missing that. If you had this, if you could just get to here, maybe this standard of living, or maybe this. And the devil just constantly, the devil doesn't give up. Constantly pushes on those buttons, doesn't he? He doesn't give up. And he'll never give up until God throws him in the lake of fire. That's what he's the slanderer. That's what he does. Why is he there? As Nathan Marr pointed out, the devil's on God's chain. He's doing that. God is sovereign over that, right? God's testing to see who has faith in him. Who has faith in him? This is a test, right? This world is a test. We failed in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve failed in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Christ comes to redeem us from where we failed. This is the test every day. Will you trust the wisdom of God, the tree of life, and remain in the life of Christ? Or will you say, no, God, I don't believe your word. Has God said, and eat the forbidden stuff? Every day. It doesn't change. It's the same thing over and over and over. And so the lies change, the faces change, but the devil remains the same. You don't need wisdom. There's something deeper. There's something higher than the pursuit of wisdom from God. And if you only have that, then you'll be satisfied. If you can just gain that, then you'll be happy. And he lies over and over and over again until you and I start to believe it, because it appeals not to our spirit, but to our flesh. Not to our reason, but to our base nature of wanting to get out of the pressure, get out of the whatever, to feel better. Without following Christ. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Mortification of the flesh. There is a battle. And there is a call for death. And it's the death of all those feelings that are in us. The deceptive lust that war against our soul. That's wisdom. Wisdom means I put me to death so that I can live the life that Christ has. That's wisdom. Christ died once so I can die daily. Putting to death the deeds of the flesh, that we may live according to the Spirit. And the Spirit gives life. And where the Spirit is, there is true liberty. And there is true life there. That's why wisdom is the principal thing. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. But we all want that. But we must remember that before honor comes humility. And your humility can be brought about only through faith. But here is the blessing of wisdom. Why should I gain wisdom? Because as you understand that wisdom is the principal thing, and there's nothing more solid than wisdom, and there's nothing higher than the pursuit of wisdom, then you begin to be blessed in those paths of wisdom. Amen? And we could go person by person here. And I could ask you some questions. When you're walking in wisdom, what are some of the blessings in your life? And you would list a bunch of them, wouldn't you? Okay, when you get your eyes off the Lord and you start thinking, what does that do to your life? And you list a bunch of unrighteous consequences, things that happen, right? And we would all do that. Our testimony validates the Word of God at every level. You can never disprove God's Word. Never. No one ever disproves God's Word. They never do, and they can never do that. Because the Bible accurately defines all of reality. We say, well, I don't believe the Bible. okay, let's talk about the reality that you live in then. And they will always confirm the words of Scripture. Even if they reject God, they'll only end up proving Scripture. Because the Scriptures cannot be broken, and there's nothing higher or deeper. There's nowhere in this world that you can go where the Bible hasn't accurately defined what the ultimate reality is. Except for one thing, sin. And the Bible says what sin is. It's missing the mark, it's a twisting, it's death. And it only brings about the end of life and destruction. And those who reject God's wisdom are on that death march, and they will give you the testimony. They may not say it that way, but they'll give you the testimony, my life is meaningless. Why do you think your life's so meaningless? I don't know. What's your purpose? I don't know. Why are you here? I don't know. To get a bunch of stuff and have a fun time. Well, let me ask you, when you get a bunch of stuff and have a fun time, did it satisfy you? Oh yeah, it did. Well, how long did it satisfy you? Well, for good or just for a moment? For a moment. Are you still satisfied? No. Why not? Because that you know that stuff doesn't satisfy. Talk to people. Lost people. They tell you. Right? Talk to your own self. You'll tell you. Wisdom's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Receive then these sayings of wisdom. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Wisdom grants long life. Eternal life, actually. He who believes in me, Jesus said, will not die. Have eternal life. Wisdom grants eternal life. The wisdom is the acknowledgement of God in Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. Right? The fifth commandment says, you want to be well with you? Honor your father and your mother. That if he be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And that's you individually as children and collectively as a people of God. It's not just an individualistic. It's not just for you child individual. It's for us collectively who train our children to honor so that they honor. So that it may be well with us collectively on the earth. It's wisdom. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom has so many applications, but it has one focus. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It has one source, the Word of God, and the Word of God, Scriptures alone. So many applications from one book. It's amazing. That's wisdom right there, just to see that. That's mind-blowing. Give me level paths for my feet, that I may walk in your wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Receive these sayings, that the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you're on the path of wisdom, when you're discipling in wisdom, there's two things that happen. Teaching and leading. Teaching and leading. For a father to train up his children in the ways of the Lord must mean he must teach his children and he must lead his children. Teach and lead. Teach and lead. Teach and lead. All the time. All the time. This is why we do. This is what we do. Let me show you how to do it. This is why we do. This is what we do. Let me show you how to do it. Over and over and over. Every day, here a little, there a little. That's the heart of wisdom-based education. Or home education, or whatever you want to call it. Training up your children in the ways of the Lord. And it never stops, and it never ends, until God takes the soul, your soul out of your body. That's how we're called to make disciples of the nations. Right there. Right there. That's why I treasure that time to be together with the men, the young boys here, just to have that time to eat together and walk together in a way that's powerful. You know, that's hospitality, you know, the fellowship, opportunity to eat a meal together. All these things are so vital because we get to see. I get to see how you eat. Right? You get to see how I eat. How we carry ourselves, the way we discuss, how our prayer life is. And again, what you pray in private comes out in public. You know, it does. There's a connection there. We talked about it at the men's meeting. You know, your wife knows your prayer life, whether it is there or whether it's not there. There's a sense there, right? You may not be able to put it in words, but there's a sense there. And we all have that sense. We initiate relationships with our spirits. First, through our bodies, of course. We don't have a body, we're out of here, this world into the next. But But it's our spirit that we initiate relationships to. You know, that's where that openness, hi, how are you doing? Eye to eye contact. Versus a, you know, why are you hiding? Where are you going? What are you ashamed of? Let's be open. Let's speak the truth in love. Let's love each other. See, that's the principle. That's wisdom living. That you may grow, that we may celebrate the life of Jesus Christ. These things are they're multi-sided, but teaching. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. Teaching and leading. What does wisdom training consist of? Good choices that are consistently made in light of God's Word. That's it. What is the goal of education? Wisdom. Moral discernment. Moral discernment. That we would be able to make constant and consistent choices that are based on Scripture and Scripture alone. That's what it's about right there. This is why this is how this piece fits into a biblical worldview. This is how this piece does. You know what? That unkindness does not fit here. That's why it needs to be removed and dealt with. Anger does not fit in this picture. It just breaks it and crushes it. Okay, sexual immorality does not fit in this picture. Lewdness, unclean jokes, they don't fit in this picture. But honor does fit. And respect and mercy. This is an opportunity to show mercy. All these are wisdom-based choices. And so much of life's decisions, it's not just a lot of things are not just black and white. When you get into this discerning aspect, it takes discernment to see, this is the right way for me. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord like this. And we're doing this based on these wisdom principles. Okay? And that helps us to navigate through. But you better be teaching your children and leading them in this to be able to communicate why it is, so they can connect it to the larger picture of God's Word. Otherwise, you just raise Pharisees who will rebel against you. Or just people that reject you altogether. Wisdom is the principal thing. I have shown you how to do this. If a son does not make good choices, does he have wisdom? No. If you don't make good choices, do you have wisdom? No, because that's what wisdom does. Wisdom acknowledges God and teaches how to make good choices. That's what wisdom does. And so, if you have a son who does not consistently make good choices, you have a foolish son. If you do not consistently make good choices, you're a foolish person. And you need wisdom. Because wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is living in light of God's Word. Making good choices. The result in verse 12, here's wisdom's reward. Wisdom's reward is this. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. That's the fruit. That's the reward of wisdom. So embrace wisdom. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Don't let anything turn it away. You've been shown some wisdom as a result of that time you invested in the king and the kingdom. Don't let anything take it from you. Because you're being leaned on, right? It's already started. The moment we go home, pushing it out. Just push it out of the way. Just move it. Move that pulpit out of your heart. And put, whatever, something else in its place. But the pushing is always there. So we got to push back. Faith, right? Keep it there. Keep it in the center. Keep it right in this. That's why the pulpit, I mean, this is important. It's a picture here with pulpits in the center of our, because the Word of God is primary. This comes out of the Protestant Reformation. Before that, it's just the Word of God is center. It's the centrality of Scripture that guides everything. And so wisdom in our heart, the result, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. Are you getting tired of getting hindered when you walk? Without wisdom, every step, right? Just wham, wham. It just That's laborious. Jesus says, you know, you need to see the contrast here. Because this contrast is, Christ says, hey, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come under my yoke. There's solid ground here to walk on. Yeah, it's narrow. Yeah, but I can't do that and I can't do that. That's foolishness. The eyes of a fool are on the ends of the world, the ends of the earth, right? But wisdom says, I'm going to look right there. I'm going to walk there. I'm going to go there. And there's a process of narrowing in on this wisdom. So that's getting wisdom, keeping wisdom. Do not let go of wisdom. As God shows you things in His Word, the Holy Spirit opens your mind and you see, wow, I'm making some connections here. I never made those connections before. Do not let go of wisdom. Take firm hold of instructions. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. It's your life that's at stake here. This is the most important thing for your family. This is the most important thing. Fathers, that you get wisdom and that you keep wisdom. Mothers, that you get wisdom and that you keep wisdom. Why is it that some people get wisdom and then they just kind of go AWOL? We know people like that. What happened? They got some wisdom, but they didn't keep some wisdom. They went 1 degree off, then 2 degrees off, then 5 degrees off. Now they're way over there. And don't think that that couldn't happen to you or wouldn't happen to you the day you reject the principal thing of God's Word in wisdom. If any man thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. But by the grace of God, I am that I am. It's always and only by God's grace. So I look at verse 13 here. Take firm hold of instructions. God showed me some precious things, some precious truth this week that I have been asking for a while, and it was just the time and the Lord's blessing. I want to keep those things. Don't let them go, for she is your life. And then here it is. Don't enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. When those other competing desires, choices, opportunities, whatever they are, weigh in on you. And the voices can come from anywhere. They can come from within. They can come from without. They can come from your place of work. They can come from your home. They can come from your wife. They can come from your husband. They can come from your... anywhere. Okay? Do not enter that path, that thought. Don't step there. And you know, wisdom living is, this is the path. One step off of it might be my last. That is wisdom living. That's what wisdom living is. And the picture I have in my mind, for Alex's 15th birthday, we climbed to the top of Saddle Mountain, which is an incredible mountain. The thing just goes straight down, like the Grand Canyon, right? Not that I've been to the Grand Canyon, but I've heard stories of it. I'm going to go there one day. So wisdom in living is like this. Here's wisdom. You're on the solid path. You're on the rim of the Grand Canyon, right? One step off and you just go all the way down. Now, we don't think that often because we step off the path of wisdom, but we don't go all the way down, right? Sometimes God has mercy. We take a step off and nothing happens. So you think, right? But wisdom living is, you never know when that's going to happen. And you're not in control of that. As soon as you step off the path, you've just placed yourself under the judgment of God. You don't know. You have no control over when that is going to happen. You don't know if you can even get back. We've talked about apostasy. That's how it happens. One step, two steps, 20 steps, 587 steps. And God says, that's your last step. You're done. And you can't repent anymore. And you harden your heart. And you go into all kind of heinous sin. You blow your life away. We know people like that, don't we? We've broken bread with people. There's been people that have been here and we've broken bread together. And they step, step, step. And now they have stepped away. And God will deal with them. I mean, if they're truly converted, God can let them fall and bring them back to Himself. Maybe they're not converted at all. And they'll fall, and they will fall. Wisdom, keeping wisdom is the principal thing. You don't know if that's your last step. You don't know where it's going to. It may be a slow quicksand. Wisdom then is to put this general principle into the details of your life. Take firm hold of instruction. Keep her. She is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on. Turn away from it and pass on. Look at the imperatives there. 1, 2, 3, 4. And they're just packed. You think it could be any more clear? For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Those who are on the wrong path, that's what they do. Turn on the TV and go almost, well, don't turn on, but you know what it's on there. You can go to almost any channel, probably any channel. And you're going to find the wicked saying, come down this wrong path, come on this wrong path, come on this wrong path, come on this wrong path. Over and over and over and over. And they don't stop because they get money that way. You want to make a lot of money? That's the way to do it. The way of the wicked is many times their pockets are lined, only to come to poverty in the end, of course, in this life and certainly in the life to come. You want to covet that way? That's a rough way to go. Look at the multi-billion-dollar industry that evil produces. I mean, it's the number one industry in America. Evil. Do not go on it. It is a rough path. Right? That's what God saved me out of. Right? And those who are born again, that's like what God saved us out of. He took us out of the miry muck, put us on the rock. So because they are relentless in their pursuit of evil, we must be relentless in our pursuit of Christ. Verse 18. But the path, look at the contrast between the path of the wicked, 16 and 17, and the path of the just. Remember, the just shall live by faith. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So the path of the just, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide your word in my heart that I might sin against you. It shines the light. I walk in that light. That's what Christ calls us to walk with Him on. But the path of the wicked is like darkness. And they don't even know what makes them stumble. I don't know why my wife just left me. I have no reason. The guy can't even see it. He can't even see it. I don't know why all my children hate me. He can't even see it. Blindness. And the bitterness. It's all their fault. It's all them. That church. Those people. Those hypocrites. It's always someone else's fault. They're blind to wisdom. They're blind to seeing what it is that has wrecked their life. If you need an object lesson for this, go into a dark room tonight, put stuff everywhere, and then try to run around the room. And just let yourself just fall and get beat up. If you're the kind of person that likes to learn through experience, I got to learn through experience. Just like have your kids put all kinds of stuff all over the floor, tables and chairs, right? Turn the lights off and then just run as fast as you can from one end of the room to the next and just keep doing it for like 10 minutes. Blam, blam, blam. That's folly. Oh, I see. Right? No, you don't see. You can't see. Put a blindfold on. We could do that here. We could get blindfolds and like mess up all the chairs. Okay, relay race. Go from one to the other. That would be folly. They say, well, that would be ridiculous. Exactly. Exactly, that's ridiculous. That's living life without wisdom. That's living life without acknowledging who God is and living in light of His Word. That's folly. That's why you should avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. But the path of the just keeps getting better and better. Not without persecution, but it keeps getting better and better. To grow in wisdom, to grow in understanding, to understand the principle of things, the principle of relationships, of connections, of these. It's wonderful. And I could go and ask you, when you're fearing God, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, walking by faith, how does it go in your life? And each one of you would say, well, you give a testimony. You know, I've never met a person either who has said, you know, even people that are very immature in their faith, they don't say, well, you know, when I trust God, it really does. Everything's a mess. But when I'm trusting God, yes, it's better. Okay. Then trust God. Because it is better. It absolutely is better. But there's these contrary forces in our hearts, in our feelings. Our feelings lead us astray. Because we feel things that are contrary to the sound doctrine that is wisdom. Wisdom, the rail of wisdom is words. Those words communicate sound doctrine. Our feelings take us away from that. If we base our faith on our feelings, we'll never go anywhere but up and down. Sometimes on the word, sometimes on our feelings. Knowing God is not based on our feelings. Knowing God is based on His Word. And if we came into knowing God through an emotional experience, we had the big Shazam moment, then we're constantly looking for those increased emotional experiences that actually take us away from knowing God according to His Word. Our soul needs to know God according to His Word to be satisfied with that. I've had some incredible emotional experiences with God. Ones that are just phenomenal, that God did. And I can't make them happen again. I mean, God could do them, you know. I was just excited to be through the, you know, what we went through last weekend and everything. But, you know, God, it's His sovereign will that He does some of it. Pours out His Spirit on us in different ways. I mean, I don't know. But I know this. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. And He's given to it in the Word. And the Spirit helps me guard that word, guard that faith. That's the stability of knowing God. That's being on the rock. That's wisdom to be able to discern between the two. And so that's where Proverbs kind of hones in on right here. Proverbs chapter 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them, what? The word of God, depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep what? Sound doctrine. Keep the words. Keep the word of God in the midst of your heart. We're talking about the objective point of reference. Scripture and Scripture alone. It doesn't say remember that religious experience that you had when you were 5 or 25. It says remember the words. And this is a today thing. It's a today thing. It's an everyday thing. And it's an every new thing. Every day it's new. Put and remember and keep. You may retain this and you can have wisdom every day of your life. That's the promise. You can't recreate a religious experience every day of your life. I mean, you can try to fabricate it, but at the end of the day, you really know you're just deceiving yourself if you're honest. Right? But you can know this every day. You can know that you know Him because you know Him according to the Word. Did you ever wonder, you know, when you're seeking the Lord, well, how do you know it's true? You ever hear that voice? I do. Jason, you're banking so much on this direction. How do you know it's true? And I just go back, because the Bible says it's true. And I'm trusting in the Word of God that it's true. And for me, in my mind, that usually ends it right there. Because I know all the reasons and all the that God brought me through to come to that conviction. You know, if that's your question, then let's talk about that. Let's, you know, investigate that. Oh no, my son is doubting the Word of God. How old is he? 18. Okay, that's okay. Talk to him. Show him. Lead him. Direct him. That's okay. At least he's talking to you about it. The worst is the ones that don't talk to you about that. And they have a secret doubt and they get another compartment in their life called hypocrisy. And they really live there. And they show you this, but they live there and they're out of here as soon as they can get there. Talk about it. Right? Wisdom discusses these things. It's okay. Let's talk about it. Let's research. Let's, my son, listen, talk, right? Now, if your 4-year-old says that, Daddy, I don't believe the Bible. If you're getting that from a little, then you just, no, God says it. We're going to do it. Okay. And that's wisdom too, to discern these things. But my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying. Again, pull your ears out. Incline, that's what that it means. The Hebrew is incline your ear. Stretch out your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your heart. Keep it. Write it down. This is a specific application that God showed me here. Okay? Write it down. Because you know what God showed you in that specific application? Guess what? About 5 hours from now, you're going to be tested on that again. And in 5 hours from now, you're going to be tested on that again. And then 2 hours, then 1 hour, then maybe every 30 seconds for the next week. Yeah, that's how it is. Right? Until you learn to trust Him there. Then, you have wisdom, you keep it. Right? And that's what forms character. You keep that. Here's the next issue. Right? And you learn to keep that. And here's the next issue. And you keep that. And then there's the next issue. And that's how you grow character. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, step by step by step. Deuteronomy 6, Shanan Tan. Diligently, diligently, like the sharpening of a knife. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. Making the decisions diligently as we disciple our under the discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us directly, collectively together, helping one another in this process to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see, put that off, put on, and keep it. Put this off, put on, and keep it, and keep it, and keep it. And the faith to keep these things, growing them in convictions, is the path of wisdom that God desires for you to grow on. It goes brighter. It grows fuller. Into the end of your life. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. This can give your body health. Physical health comes from this kind of living. Your studies have shown over and over again, you know, different perverted lifestyles are stressful. Right? They're stressful. Whether it's homosexual lifestyle, lesbian lifestyle, lifestyle of a thief, or sluggard. Right? They're stressful. They're very stressful. Right? The path of wisdom brings health to your body. Just think if you could cut out worry from your life. Just think if you could cut out stress from your life. I mean, think about all the things stress does to your body. Shortness of breath, panic attacks, right? Well, Jesus said, you don't have anything really to worry about except this. Get wisdom. And that's an easy yoke that you're going to someone who loves you. And he says, you don't have to worry how to provide for yourself. Here it is. You'll never have to worry again how to provide for yourself. Take care of your family again. It's this. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Jesus promises that. Now that's wisdom. Doesn't mean you don't work. He who doesn't work doesn't eat. But part of working is seeking the kingdom of God. But it's done in a way that puts Christ first. Acknowledges Christ first. He removes the worry. Wouldn't that be incredible if you never had to stress or worry again about any of these things? All you had to do is take it to the Lord in prayer, casting all your cares upon Him, because you know He cares for you. And that peace that surpasses understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That brings health to all your body. Amen? The byproducts are huge. Right here, right now, on this earth, for your life. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that? Well, because I think I know more than God. Exactly. But you don't. There, I said it. Okay? You don't know more than God. Trust Him. Wouldn't that be helpful if we really believe that? And as we do believe it, it is helpful. That's wisdom. That is the wisdom that God gives. Here, verse 23, and I think this is one of the primary commands in this passage. Keep or guard your heart with all, there's the word diligence. Keep it. Guard it. Guard it with what? Guard it with the Word of God. Keep the Word of God in your heart. I like it unto a prison, kind of like. You know, guarding your heart. And what's in the center of that prison? In my heart, what is to be locked in my heart is the Word of God. Just flipping through the pages. Just meditating on the Psalm 1 day and night. Just thinking about it, you know, fantasizing, if you will, about Scripture. I mean, not like in a, but just delighting. Psalm 1, delight yourself in the law of God. That word delight is have a strong emotional attraction to. We are to have a strong emotional attraction to God's Word. Just like prayer. I cannot wait to pray. We wake up in the morning, can't wait to pray. I get to pray. To delight in abiding in Him. To delight in the Word of God. And anything that takes that delight away, you don't need it. Don't look at it. Don't go there. Don't delight in the Word of God. Delight in the Scripture and the Scripture alone. Keep it in your heart with all diligence. Why should you do that? For out of it springs the issues of life. Every issue in your life, guess what? Comes first through your heart. The heart of every problem is a matter of the heart. Every problem is a matter of your heart or the heart of someone else's heart that's interacting with your heart. Or something else, right? So as you get to the heart of the matter, which is, really, I need more of God in my life, then that'll produce the issues of life. It's kind of like if you think about a village, and I was in a village, I was in Morocco years ago, and the whole village was fed by a spring, and I got to preach this there, and it worked really well. The whole village was fed by this spring. And if the spring went bad, which it didn't, but if the spring would go bad, I think, what would happen if your spring went bad? Well, all kinds of consequences would happen. They wouldn't have any water to drink. That would be a big one right away, immediately, right? And then I said, well, look at all the life that this spring is producing in the village. And they, yes, they could agree to that. Absolutely. Right? It's like if all of our wells went dry, everything would dry up. Right? Look at all the things that's irrigated. Most of the agriculture around us here is well fed. I think Goodyear is, I believe, is 100% well. It's like a very high percentage is from wells. What if the wells all went dry? All that grain would just whoosh, right? Dry up and die. That's the picture of guarding your heart. Guarding your heart, for from it springs or flows, like a springing out of everything, the issues of your life. Think of all that we always think downstream too far. We're looking downstream at all the results and the effects of our heart. And backing it up, you know, just like in that village, you go to the outskirts of the village, you can back it up, all that water's coming from right here. All that is being produced is coming from that well. And that well is your heart. And God designed your heart to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. God designed you to abide in Him, to meditate on His Word, to pray, to have this intense communion with Him according to His Word. That's what you're to guard. Guard your heart. Keep your heart. Keep the Word in your heart with all diligence, all vigilance. All and everything to keep your heart. That means you need to be spending those free mental moments in prayer and meditation of the Word. That means from the moment you get up, from the time you go to sleep, how can I seek the Lord? Praying. Right? Praying in blocks of prayer, practicing prayer, and then praying throughout the day. Just praying. You know, Lord, help me. Praying right now. Lord, help me to understand this. Help me to make the connections. Thanking Him. Thank You for Your grace and mercy. There's so much to be thankful for. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows or springs the issues of life. And then the Proverbs 4 ends 24, 25, 26, and 27. Each give, there's four ways that this main command in Proverbs chapter 23 is instructed on how to guard your heart. How do we guard our hearts? We speak right, we look right, we behave right, and we walk right. Speaking, looking, behaving, and walking. 24 says it this way. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So you have to speak right. To guard your heart is going to look like right speaking, right thinking, hearing right things. If it's not pleasing to the Lord, you don't need to see it. If it's not honoring to Jesus Christ, you don't need to say it. Right looking. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and then let your eyes look before you. Right looking. You don't need to look at wicked things. You don't need to look at vain things. You don't need to look at, if it's vain, if it's not advancing the kingdom of God, it's not for you to look at. And I'm talking about evil things that are obvious not to look at, and things that are just a waste of time. They're worthless. Right? So evil video games should never be played. Right? And then video games that are, okay, cutesy and fun, but they're worthless. What are they accomplishing? Absolutely nothing. Right? Take it times whatever you're looking at in your life. Okay? Even you know, and it's a moment by moment thing. I'm guarding my heart. Do I really have the freedom right now to go look at that? Well, not really. Then don't. That's how you guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. How about right behaving? Does this honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. And that's like just, so a wise person's like this. What are my feet doing now? Right? What are you thinking now, Jason? Why do you want to go over there? Pondering the path of your feet. And the neat thing for me, my experience has been, when I first came to the Lord, you know, I was really excited about the Lord. And but you know, I knew a lot less of what was driving me than I do now. And over the years, you ponder your feet, and it's like God shows you the controls of your heart. And you know, but before I could just see the action or the reaction or the behavior. Now I can back it up and I can see, ooh, right there's where I made the departing choice. Right there it is. Ooh, and I get it. I just know, right? But I can see that now more and more. The heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17. But this is how you can know your heart, because Scripture comes in and you can see your heart. And then you can actually, no, I'm going to put my foot here and put my foot here and make these choices. That's wisdom living. And that never stops. That's why wisdom living only and ever gets better. Because you're constantly putting these things off and putting on Christ. Isn't that awesome? And that's what we have to look forward to. That's what a young believer has to look forward to in an older believer, right? Is that process lived out more. That's what's encouraging. That's what encourages one another. We encourage each other in that. You know, I'm discouraged by my immaturity. I am. But I'm also encouraged that I'm not as immature as I used to be. And that's the Christian life until Christ really takes care of it and removes sin completely from my life in glorification. But this is the process of right behaving. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. And there's no shortcuts here. You know, sometimes believers like to do this. They see what appears to be a mature believer, right? And they look on the outside and they kind of see some things that they like. And they just copy them. I'll just take this and put this in my life. Well, that's fine. But that's kind of a superficial external application. It needs to root into your heart and understand why and what and how, so that you have to go through the process of pondering the path of your feet. It doesn't say copy someone else's feet. Right? Well, Nathan Marr has really nice feet. Right? His feet don't stink as bad as my feet. So I'm going to copy his feet. No, it says ponder the path of your feet. We encourage one another as we discuss things. And hey, is that helping you? Why do you do that? How is that helping you? or yeah, that's not for me, but you're pondering. You got to weigh these things out. And so implications, applications when it comes into worldview issues, you know, and there's a lot of things to weigh out, isn't there? Media choices, modesty applications, dealing with different social interactions and other relationships and friends and, you know, lost people and lost family members and all these things requires to ponder. And that, you know, the pondering's a good thing. You know, as long as you take it back to the Word and say, God, how do I do this? And it helps us to be gracious towards each other as we're at different paths. But so long as you keep on the path, right? So long as you just say, I don't think I have to ponder. I can just go do what I want. Now you left. Now you're by yourself, right? Now you're toasted, right? We don't want to go there. Keep pondering, keep thinking, right speaking, right looking, right behaving, straight walking. Do not turn to the right or the left, or move your foot from evil. Keep going on the path. Keep the path, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So, get and keep wisdom. Get wisdom, listen to sound doctrine, your father's doctrine. Prioritize wisdom in all you're getting. Get wisdom. Receive wisdom. Treasure these commands within you. Keep wisdom. Do not let go of it. Give attention to wisdom and keep your heart. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for how you guide us and direct us into these things. Lord, I just ask here that you would enable us to do what you've said. To keep it and to bear fruit from it. And I thank you for this passage. And I thank you for how you're using it in our lives. And I thank you for the good harvest that you're growing. In Jesus' name, amen.